This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Out of there. Let's part ways. But there's something else here. We see something in Jacob. He prevails and he realizes that there's a blessing. There's a possibility of a blessing in it. And what I felt to just mention briefly is that when we are going through a struggle, when we're going through a time of trial or tough season, often our prayers are like, Lord, you know, just deliver me from the situation. Just get me out of here. Where's that eject button? You know, where's that thing that I need to pull to get out of this hot spot as soon as possible? You know, deliver me. Amen. You see here in Jacob's life, there's a powerful dynamic here of thinking, okay, I'm in this moment, I'm in this difficult time. I'm not going to let go of this season until I know God's purpose has been fulfilled. Until I know that there's been a blessing for me in it. Amen? In other words, instead of just saying, Lord, just get me out of here, Lord, let me not miss your purpose. For this moment, let me not just run for my life and then actually miss the blessing that is in the difficult moment. Are you with me this evening? So I want to encourage us with that. While you're wrestling through it, pursue God and say, Lord, what is your will in this situation, in this season? How can I make sure I embrace the fullness of that and let your name be glorified in it? And I know, you know, God is shaping and molding me. He's working on our character in moments like that. He's making us more like Christ. But let's not let go until we know we've received the blessing. Amen. All right, so let's get back to the promise. and I want to also mention here in Exodus chapter 3, this is this is now 400 years later, the nation of Israel are in bondage in Egypt. Moses has fled to the wilderness. He's a murderer on the run, right? That's the guy that God chooses to do his work. Amen. So it's good news, guys. God is able to use any of us. Amen. No matter what our past is, no matter where we come from, but he gets Moses' attention by. There's a bush that's burning and it's not turning to ash. It just keeps on burning. Let's see what happens for verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And then he goes on, he says, I have promised, you know, it's time for I've heard the cries of the nation, it's time for you to be delivered from Egypt. And God comes again, he introduces himself. If there's any doubt, he says, this is who I am. I am the same God that made that same promise to Abraham. I'm this God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I'm the God of your father. And he calls Moses to lead the nation out of their captivity. So we see this powerful reaffirmation of the promise of the blessings that are to come, of the purpose of God. And we see a very important element of the promise, even with Abraham, is we see that the promise is not meant to be for one person, right? When God pronounces the promise and when he speaks about the different generations, it's clear that his blessing and his purpose and his the promise is not for one island, one individual. He's speaking about multiple generations. He's speaking about descendants. He's speaking about nations. And he's saying, I will bless you. He doesn't stop there. He says, and you will be a blessing. Amen. The blessing that we receive and the promise that we receive does not stop with us. says, I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. And then he goes on, he says, in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me think, how does that work? Yes, I want to embrace that old concept. We'll talk about it some more now, but receiving a blessing and passing it on. But how does that work? How can my life, how can my family be a blessing to all the nations? We're going to look a bit more at that in a moment. So we see this dynamic of the blessing that is not just for the one generation or the one person. I want to quickly read from Exodus chapter 20 also. This is where where Moses receives the commandments from the Lord. In verse 4, he says, you must not take for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. This is the heart of the Father. Yes, our sin and our rejection of God has a massive impact. But the heart of God is to lavish His unfailing love on thousands of generations. He wants that blessing to continue to flow. He wants us to receive and pass it on, receive His blessing and be a channel of that grace in our lives. Recognizing that the reason that I am being blessed, the reason why I am walking in fullness of life, the reason why I've got stuff and resources and so much, is so that can be a blessing to somebody else. That there can be a flow of life, that can be an overflow for my life. Amen? So, he says, I want to lavish my unfailing love for 1,000 generations of those who love me, obey my commands. Now, I want us to look at a few practical things about how can this work? How can we structure our lives? Now, let's be honest, guys. In some ways, this is like saving. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but the clever financial guys, they'll tell you, guys, you have to save at the beginning of the month. Okay? Yes? Amen? Yes? It doesn't help you say, I'm going to save at the end of the month. Because I don't know about you, but at the end of the month, I found something else to spend that money on. That's why we tithe and we save at the beginning of the month, right? So we say, this month, I'm going to set this stuff aside. I'm going to save for whatever I'm saving for that mission trip that's coming up. Amen. And I'm going to save at the beginning of the month. Because if I don't, by the end of the month, I'm like, okay, you know what? Next month. I'm going to start saving next month. This month, there were some priorities and stuff I had to sort out. Next month, we're going to go big, right? Next month comes, same thing happens. I know you guys are not like that, but often it happens with me. So I have to be very deliberate and save at the beginning of the month, and I have to do debit orders and stuff. That money just disappears, and I never even saw it, right? But with this kind of thing, it's similar. There's a place where, unless you and I are being very deliberate, investing in the next generation, investing in people's lives around us, if you're a parent, investing in your children's lives, and being deliberate about it, it's always going to be, you know what, this month is really hectic, or this evening is worth, this week is quite busy, let's do it next month. It's always going to be that element of, it's not convenient now. Time is it's a bit of a struggle this week. Resource-wise, we're a bit strapped this week. So I'm going to, you know what? Let's start that next month. Are you with me? Unless we're being very deliberate, we're going to find ourselves just postponing. We're going to find ourselves not getting around to it. So there's a very, there's I want to ask the question, how can we structure our lives? How can we put things in place that help us to form habits and live lives that are being, we are practically saying, okay, how am I investing in the next generation? How am I pouring myself out into those around me? Maybe you're not a parent here yet this evening, so the child, you know, that example won't work for you, but how am I making sure that that blessing that I receive is not doesn't get stuck with me, but actually flows on? All right? So this morning we looked at a couple of things specifically around family life, so I'm going to mention them in any case. Is there anybody here that's not a parent? There's a few of you. All right. So that's good news. Is there anybody that wants to be a, has a thought about being a parent one day? Hallelujah. That's great. Okay. So you guys are all in the right place. Okay. I'm going to mention a few principles about how we can do this kind of thing in the home, but this is not only applicable for parenting. Okay, so the principles are applicable for people that you care about, maybe a colleague, you know, maybe a flatmate, maybe somebody in your res. Okay, so just stick with me, all right? Firstly, time in Scripture. We found that is the most powerful thing. Okay, obviously, in a family context, that's easy. You know, I just tell my children, there's no question, we're going to read the Bible. Right, it's different with your flatmate. Okay, just saying. But in Afrikaans, there's this rhyme we say, lees jou Bybel, bid elke dag, want het gee jou krag. Right? So when the children were really small, I taught them this. Now some evenings where I'm really tired, then David tells me, lees jou Bybel, bid elke dag. Then he says, no, we have to read the Bible. So I'm like, okay, we will read the Bible. But we've found that even at their age, the eldest is 6, we can see that the Word is bearing fruit in their lives. It's something we do every evening as we go to bed. We read Scripture with them, and we can see it's bearing fruit in their lives. Not only reading the Scripture, but speaking about how can we apply Scripture. Okay, and obviously we make it simple, and I don't read from the King James Version to the children, but it's so powerful to see that even at that age, there's fruit because of the Scripture is alive. Now, some of you may know the story, but when Abby just turned 3, we were living in England, and we were at a party in one of the parks there in London, and lovely park, Wimbledon Park, right next to where the tennis courts are. And so we were having a party. We went to the bathroom, and then we came out, and it was raining. Abby was devastated. You know, it was a birthday party, having a great time. She was like, I don't like rain, you know. And I said to her, well, we just the day before, one or 2 days before, we read about Jesus and how he addressed the storm. And I said to her, but Holy Spirit just put that, reminded me of that. I said, but why did Jesus tell the storm? You know, I said it before I could think about it. So this 3-year-old girl stopped in the path. She put both her fingers in the air like this. And she said, stop! And I was having a laugh. And then I stopped laughing because the rain stopped immediately. Instantaneous. I was like, you know, I did not expect that, to be honest with you. I was just as surprised. And I said, did you see what just happened there? And she was not surprised. That's why I call it faith like a child. Because the children don't doubt. If you read the Scripture, you see this is what Jesus did. This is what we must do. There's no doubt there. It's really powerful. And we could have the party, and then later it rained some more when the party was finished. I have to remind her of that thing, because now she's learning to doubt. That's something we learn. We learn from people around us. I have to remind her. But how powerful is that, that a child of that age can read something in Scripture and apply it to her life and see the power of God in action? Often the children, when I'm already reaching for pills or wanting to make another plan, they said, but Lord, can we pray for you, Daddy? Whatever, your headache or whatever it is. And it blesses me and it challenges my faith. Amen. So the scripture, maybe in your context, time with a friend or a colleague or a resmate in the scripture, it's powerful. Maybe even somebody that's not keen yet to come to Bible school or small group or church, but somebody that might be keen to just to look at what the Bible says about some things. You know, what these great Walking with Jesus booklets that really address some really basic practical things. Something like that is going to have a massive impact on your life and your friend's life. Amen? Time in the Scripture and application of Scripture. All right? Okay, then we've found that there are moments, and this is applicable to any relationship, but there are moments that where there's an opportunity to speak life. There's an opportunity to affirm, encourage. This weekend at the camp was one of those with me and Abigail. You know, time with Daddy, it's the best, right? She's been looking forward to this thing for many months. She's been counting the sleeps and the days. She's the eldest. The two younger ones are a little bit more lively than she is. So inevitably, they get more attention. Not always positive attention, but they get more attention often. And she's been just looking forward to it because she's got her dad all to herself, right? What a precious time. And we found that, look guys, it's not always like that, you know, but some evenings when there's quiet and peace, when we go to bed, when the children go to bed, there's a moment and our Lord's been just working in my heart about that, taking those opportunities, even if it's just a minute, to use that minute to affirm and to encourage. Some evenings it's absolute chaos, let's be honest, okay, we're not the perfect parents, so it's chaos, people are screaming, not only the children, you know, it's, people are running around, Emily is running around naked in the house, you know, David is making new moves, he's trying his skateboard in the corridor, and he's supposed to be going to bed, it's chaos some evenings, right, but some evenings it's peaceful, and then, you know, you grab that opportunity, and I sit with them individually at their beds, you know. I say to Abby why she's special. I speak the word over her life. I say that God has an amazing plan for your life. God has put this in your heart. He's made you sensitive to people. And I speak His purposes over her. Same with David. He makes jokes and stuff. He doesn't get it, you know. But I can see it blesses him. And beyond his reaction in the natural, I'm speaking into his spirit. Amen? Emily, we'll get there. But what I'm talking about is moments in relationships, whether it be with your children or your friends or your colleague, where there's a moment where it's conducive to speaking life and encouraging and caring. You know, it's funny when sometimes men, we're really bad with this. When there's a moment like that, we often just make a joke or put on the Xbox or something, you know, just to get away from this uncomfortable moment. But why don't we get comfortable with those moments? And why don't we grab hold of them and trust God to speak His life and His encouragement, amen, into the situation? Now, I remember times in res where people would come to me months after a moment like that and say to me, "Yo, that day, I knew that you were going through a difficult time, and I knew you were under stress, but that the way you handled it and the way you spoke to me just really blessed me. I can't even remember." But moments like that really have an impact, okay? So, I spot the moments, trust God to speak life, to affirm, to encourage. Okay. So in other words, guys, if you're going to spend time with your friend, don't let there always be lots of distractions, okay? There can be times when you just have a sensible conversation, okay? The ladies are better at this than we are. Okay. Those ladies, please don't pull the chicken. Okay? We need the hoenderrukking. Okay. So, I'm just saying, sometimes we take it too far. All right, don't worry, stick with me. Okay. Then, another thing that we've been chatting about the other day, we're just chatting in the car, and I asked the children, I said to them, we're all going to have a turn. So I asked the other two, I asked them, what is Abigail like? What is she like? What is the stuff that she really likes? How, if we want to show Abigail that we really love her, what should we do? This was an interesting conversation. And I did the same, I asked them, what is mommy really like? And I must say, some of them are actually quite sharp. They pick up things that mommy doesn't like, and that mommy does like. Doesn't like it when we do that thing. I said, yes, you know, please don't do that thing. But so the exercise was basically about what love languages. Okay? I didn't say that word, but I was asking, what does that person really enjoy? And if we want to show them that we love them, what should we do? How can we express that? And you know what? It's something that we as adults struggle with, but the children, even at that age, they understood the concept. That we differ in the way that, in the stuff that we like, in the stuff that, in the way we receive love. So I want to throw that out there. Think about the people around you, a colleague or a classmate or a neighbor. How can I serve this person? How can I really love them? And when the people were making suggestions about, for instance, David, then he was quick to chirp in and make some suggestions of his own, you know, mostly to do with sweets or chocolate or, you know, some kind of thing that he really enjoys. But that's a really practical way that we can actually reach out to somebody. To actually take time to pray, to think about it. So how can I serve somebody else in my family, at my workplace? At my residence, or my flatmate, etc., my neighbor. I was encouraged. Somebody sent something on to me this week of an elderly gentleman. He's retired, got a small pension. I think he's in the UK somewhere. He doesn't live in a very fancy place. He's got a very simple place where he lives, but every day, goes, he takes his pension, he goes and buys ingredients, and he makes food, and he packages it, and he distributes it to the homeless people in his little area every day. That's his thing. He uses his own pension money. He's not got a lot of fancy things, but he's found a way to serve his community. Isn't that powerful? And I reckon he might not be in the newspaper, but in heaven we're going to probably know about him. Amen. So what ways can we find to serve our community? And what ways can we find to love, to serve those that God has put around us? Okay. Just want to quick look at one or two more scriptures. In Psalm chapter 78, let's do that one first. Okay. 78 verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Going on, verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. That they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. How powerful is this progression? We will not forget. We will make it known. We will proclaim. We will pass on the praises of God to the next generation. How often do we spend so much time, and if we do get round to passing something on, it's as if we want to pass stuff on. You know, this stuff is going to be a blessing to you. My dad passed away in October. Guys, the bulk of the blessing that I received from my dad is not stuff. It's intangible things. Amen. It's stuff that you only appreciate when the person is not there anymore. But the stuff is there, but you remember the other stuff that is of eternal value. Amen. That's what we can pass on. And that's what we see here. Not the material things, but the testimony of what God has done. His works and the praises of God. Are we passing that on? Is that flowing through our lives? Is my life a pond where stuff just gathers and then it frots a bit and then it gets stinky? Or is there an outflow? Am I more like a river? Am I more like a channel of grace? It just passes through. And the scripture speaks of a river of living water. Streams of living water flowing from our innermost being. In what ways are you and I allowing that blessing to flow through our lives? Let's go on in Revelation chapter 5. If we think about the greatest blessing that we have received, the greatest legacy that we have received is that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is the message of the cross, is the blessing of the fact that we have been saved, the fact that we have salvation. Isn't that the greatest blessing, the forgiveness that we have in Christ? Freely we have received, freely. How are we giving? Let's read from verse 9 there. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, Jesus, you're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Every tribe and tongue and every people and nation. Remember right in the beginning, God says, I will bless you, and in you all the nations, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Every tribe and every tongue, every people and every nation will be blessed. How does that look in my life and your life? Guys, when I came to Christ as a 12-year-old, walking to the front of a church, I did not have a clue that God was going to take me to the ends of the earth. I traveled a little bit as a small child with my parents, but I didn't know that I would go on mission trips across the globe. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know that most of my traveling in my life would be to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That I would move continents with family and with my children for the sake of the gospel. I didn't have a clue, but I would not exchange it for anything else. Taking it to the ends of the earth. Every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Being blessed so that we can be a blessing. Knowing that the gospel in us and the message of the cross in us is meant to be a blessing for every nation on the planet. Amen. Let's look at Matthew 24. Jesus speaking about the end times. Often we are, guys, think about this. When is the end going to come? People make big calculations, prophecies, strategies. Have you seen this? The moon and this and the tides and the planets, and then Jesus is going to come again on this date. And then the date comes and goes, and the guys just make some adjustments in their calculations, you know. And the scripture says, nobody knows. I don't get it, guys. To be honest, I don't, why do they make the calculations of the scripture? Nobody knows. Not even the Son. Only the Father knows. In any case. But this is a good clue. This is a good clue right here. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, all the people groups, every tribe and nation and every tribe and tongue, people and nation. And then the end will come. Guys, if you want to hurry that up, there's a job to be done. Man, if you're eager, and I'm keen, how often we ask somebody, yeah, are you keen to go to heaven? We saw that in a video yesterday at the training, you know, Lou Giglio saying, we're all keen to go to heaven, but we're not so keen to die, right? There's a song about that, isn't there? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I'm sure there's a song like that. I think it's David Crowder. In any case, there's something that God has in us that is, we have a desire for the eternal, for eternity with God. It's something that's in us. It's something that God stirs in us that we have been destined for greater things. That this life here is not, it's just an intro. It's just a moment, Scripture says. Preparing for our real destiny in eternity. But if, guys, if we want to hurry that day, God says this is what needs to happen before the end comes. Every tribe and tongue in us, every family on the earth will be blessed. And let's end with Acts 13:36. For David, this King David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers. He passed away. And so my question to us is, yes, when we come to that place of at the end of our lives, will it be said of us that we had served our generation? And will it be said of us that we had poured ourselves out into the next generation. Not only serving our peers, but giving everything that we have, as we see Paul writes, he says, I've poured myself out as a drink offering. There's nothing left. I'm at the end of the road now. I know the end is near. I've run the race. I've finished the course. He's ready. He knows his time is near because he's given everything he's got. Isn't that a complete opposite of what the world says? Grab everything you can, get everything out of it. You know, Paul says, I've poured myself out. Everything that I've received, I've given it again. I've got nothing left. I'm at the end. I've stayed the course. David has served his generation by the will of God, the grace of God. I'm asking that question to us. What are you and I? How are we serving our generation? How are we serving our community and our family and our country? How are we serving the generations that are coming after us? Will it be something said about us that we've accumulated a lot of stuff? Or is it more going to be a celebration of what we managed to pass on and impart and deposit? Invest. Are you with me? Let's stand this evening. You know, spend some time praying. Guys, one of the big questions this evening is, well, I believe, is what changes do I need to make? Now, if I speak to a financial advisor, I said, they're going to tell me, listen, you're going to have to make some changes. Otherwise, you're never going to save. You're going to have to restructure things. You're going to have to put things in place to make sure this happens. And I want to ask that question. What has to change in your life and in my life so that you and I can truly pour ourselves out. If we not get stuck in this rat race of me, myself, and I, and this thing, this stuff that everybody else is running off. I was listening to radio the other day, and I can't even remember what the person said, but I had such a conviction that the Holy Spirit said to me, it's like a moment. This time on earth is a moment like that. And then eternity is for. But yet we get so stuck in stuff and, you know, houses and cars and careers and everything else. It's so important to us. It's just like this. That retired gentleman somewhere in Ireland, I think he's made a shift. He's not spending his time on the beach looking at the view. He's grabbing the moment to serve. And he's storing up treasures in heaven. Amen. How are we going to have to restructure things? How are we going to have to make changes? I want to encourage you guys. There's a lot of ways in church. And if that's something you feel God is stirring in your heart, it's a great place to start. There's a lot of opportunities to serve. Amen. Guys, I can testify that the times I've grown the most and the times that I have experienced God in the most powerful ways, it's been around His church, His bride. It's when I've self-sacrificially given myself to serve the bride, the church. That's when I've really encountered Him. But beyond that, I mean, there's so much need in our communities. There's so many people doing amazing work. We don't even have to reinvent the wheel. We can just jump in there. Amen. But how are we pouring ourselves out? Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank You. Father, we stand in awe, Lord, of Your faithfulness. We stand in awe of Your goodness from generation to generation. We stand in awe of Your promise that remains generation after generation. And we thank You that even most of us here can probably say with conviction that we are here in Your presence following You, Lord, because of somebody else that has prayed, because of somebody else that has given of themselves, because of somebody else that has laid their life down for the sake of the gospel. We are here because someone has taken the bold step to bring the word to Africa. We are here because others have laid down their lives for Your sake, Lord. We are here because family members have prayed and friends have invited and poured themselves out. So we just want to honor You and thank You, God, for Your goodness and Your faithfulness across many generations. Lord, this evening we repent. We realize that there's so much in our hearts that is so selfish, God, that is just running after the me, myself, and I. Lord, we realize this. We get stuck in the world system. We get stuck in trying to grab for myself. And we, in the name of Jesus, we repent, Lord, and we ask that You'd turn our hearts this evening. We ask, Lord, that You'd give us grace to fix our eyes on You, Jesus. To fix our eyes on eternity, to see what is really of importance, Lord. Lord, that we would recognize the moments when we can impart life. Recognize the moments and the friendships and the seasons where You opened the doors for us to have real, significant, eternal impact through Your grace and Your love in somebody else's life. Just as we have freely received, we can freely give. Oh Lord, we thank You that You stir that in our hearts this evening. We open our hearts, Lord, say, come, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes to see the need. Yesterday again, we heard of 2.5 billion people that have never heard the name of Jesus. Stir our hearts, Lord. Not only for those across the earth, but for those in our next door to us, those in the next room, those in the next office, those down the street that have in such desperate need of Your salvation. Such desperate need of Your love and Your forgiveness in the same way that we are. Thank You, Lord, that You stir our heart this evening with compassion. In Jesus' name. As every eye is closed, if you're standing here this evening and maybe you're new to church, maybe this is a new thing for you, maybe you're not, it's not your thing normally. Maybe you have been in church in the past, but right now where you're standing, you know that you're not right with God. Maybe this gift that I was talking about, this gift of salvation, is the greatest blessing of forgiveness of sins that we can pass on to others, and the message of the cross that we can share with others. Maybe you standing here this evening and realizing I've not yet received that gift myself. I've not yet received that blessing. And I want to encourage you, and I say to you, there's an invitation this evening that the Father is extending to you. He knows you. He knows your fears. He knows your ambitions. He knows that your deepest heart's desires. And He wants to meet you where you're at. He wants to affirm you as His child. And I feel this evening He's saying to you, my child, I love you so much. I love you so much that I've made a way for you to have a relationship with me. I love you so much that I've made a way through sending my son that you can be free from sin and death. I've made a way that you can have eternal life with me. I'm not going to make all the challenges disappear, but I'm going to give you an eternal salvation, an eternal hope, and I'm going to free you from sin and shame and guilt and condemnation. If that's you this evening and the Holy Spirit is stirring in your heart and you have a desire to connect with God this evening, you have a desire to follow Him and to see a change as you receive that gift of salvation, while every eye is closed, won't you raise your hand for a moment? I just want to pray with you for a moment. Is there anybody like that? You know that God has been working in your heart right now. You want to respond to His love. You want to respond to what He's laying on your heart. If there's anybody like that, would you raise your hand for a moment? I would like to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for your gift of salvation. Thank you that you soften every heart in this place. And I feel there are some of our hearts that over years and maybe even through hurting church, maybe even through getting hurt with Christians, just the relationship with Christians and just lots of damage being done. I just feel God is giving grace this evening for you to choose to soften your heart, to say, Lord, I now realize I've got hurt in the past. But I want to know the love. I want to know that love that you want to lavish on 10,000 generations, on thousands of generations. I want to know that love that sent Christ to the cross in my place. I want to know that love that forgives sin. I want to know that acceptance of the Father. And I just feel if that's you, if you just open your heart and say to God, Lord, I choose to open my heart to you. Holy Spirit, I want to know you. I want to know that love. I want to know that forgiveness. So just where you're standing, if that's you this evening and you feel Holy Spirit is prompting you, won't you just, in your own words, softly under your breath even, just mention, say that to Him. Lord, I open my heart and I ask that you would come and restore and heal. I want to know you more. I want to draw near to you again. Maybe for the first time. Thank you. And as I said earlier, just as eyes are closed now, I believe there's a grace this evening just to receive, just to be able to cast our cares upon Christ. And we prayed through that earlier, but I feel if that's you this evening and there's been stuff weighing you down, maybe there's been a bit of depression, maybe there's been system hectic stuff that you've been anxious about, Maybe I feel some have been struggling to sleep. Feel there's somebody here that's feeling physically ill. Just there's this constant thing. It's just can't get rid of it. It's just here. It's consuming your mind. I feel God is want to give you grace to just lay that at His feet this evening. But I feel you need to pray with somebody. Somebody else that's lost a loved one and you're devastated and there's so much hurt. I feel God wanted to meet you right there. And He's, I don't know your situation, but He does. And I feel He wants to cover you with His grace and He wants to cover you with His peace and He wants to cover you with His comfort and His presence. And He wants to heal your heart. Somebody else here tonight that you've been trusting God for financial provision. I feel it's something to do with your studies. And you've been stressing about that. I feel God is wanting to meet you there. And I feel He's going to make open a door and He's going to make a way for you. If that's you, any of those that I mentioned now, won't you just come to the front? We want to just take some time to pray with you. If there's any other prayer need, just while we're doing that now, maybe if you could just join us in the front now. We're going to take some time to pray with people. Take some time to trust God to speak a word of life. Amen. So if you're trusting God for healing as well, if you've been trusting for provision in any way, would you also just join us in the front? We're going to spend some time to pray. Amen. Can you guys move across a little bit? I have some facilitators also to join, please. We're going to spend some time just to minister to some people. I'm going to close the service now. If we're going to spend a few moments in worship. But if you have any other prayer need this evening, I may not have the answer for you, but I know that God has made a way. Amen. So please don't leave until somebody's prayed with you and somebody's agreed with you in prayer. I'd love to pray with you. I'm going to close the service now, but please feel free to remain and worship. And if you need prayer, to come to the front. Otherwise, join us for some refreshments at the back. If you're not in a small group yet, guys, I just feel this for somebody. If you're not in a small group or in a community of believers where you can receive prayer and encouragement, I want to really encourage you to visit a small group. That's a place where we can stand together, where we can encourage and pray for one another and stand in faith for one another. Amen? So if you have a desire to visit or maybe just to check it out, please go to the info table, give your details there, and we'll contact you. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in each of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you are stirring in us a desire, Lord, to see rivers of living water flow from our innermost being, to see your kingdom come in our lives and also through our lives, to see nations and generations blessed through the blessing that you pour out into our lives. Thank you that you bless each one here. And I declare your blessing over every soul here, that you are blessed and you will be a blessing in the name of Jesus. And in you, the whole of South Africa will be blessed. And in you, the nations of the world will be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that you open our eyes, Lord. I thank you that you empower us by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.